have for this time is very important for the young people. When we are putting this message together, we are thinking about them too. So we want them to listen because this is about you too. Especially one that is 16 years old today. You say like this to everybody. God bless you. It's wonderful to be young. And don't worry about those of us that are reaching. We're going to all be young again. So don't worry about it. It is a blessing. It is an awesome blessing to be with God's people this morning. We talk about holiness all the time. In every church, even people that are not Christians, they talk about holiness. Have you ever heard those people say, "Holy cow"? Why do the people say that? Why they say those "holy cow"? Is because some part of the world, even a cow is holy. So there is a lot of holy stuff that is not actually holy, but people think they are holy. And sadly, sometimes we Christians, we are kind of shy about the word holy. Every time somebody tries to put that label on us, we say, no. It looks like we need some more excuses to continue to be unholy. And sometimes that's what makes us uncomfortable with the word holy. And hopefully today, when you leave this place, we'll be all holy people.
Yeah.
Let me repeat. I hope at the end of this message, everyone who leaves this room here will be holy people.
Amen.
Okay, now we get more holy people around. And I hope at the end we have 100% everyone is holy. Leviticus 19 is a chapter that when you go home this afternoon, when you feel like you have nothing to do, I'd like you please to visit Leviticus chapter 19. Read the whole chapter, and then you understand what is holiness all about. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. All that I'm going to mention is verse 2. But I want for you to have a homework. So if you say, "Oh, I'm distracted. What should I do? Today is a holy day. Today is the Sabbath." But get to the Leviticus 19, and we'll give you a wonderful meditation for this afternoon. Okay? The title of the message today, it is the Be Holy Steps. We could number 100, but we have very few because they are basic for us as Christians. What is our journey? Because we came from the hands of God, and the returning point is the hands of God. Everything in between is just a test. But we came from God, and we are going back to God. Amen? That is our destination. The Holy Ones. Whom or what is holy to you? Who decides what is holy in your life? Are you the one who decides what is holy? What are you embracing of so high importance in your life that you are even inclined to bow down to what you call holy in your life? Is money a holy thing in your life? Because the only time the Bible says the money is holy is when you are returning to God. As long as it stays in your pocket, you cannot call it holy. You may call something else, look at needed, or whatever you want to call it. But don't call it holy what is in your pocket. When you hold control of that money and think that the money itself is holy, it's not to be worshipped. The Bible says clearly that we should not make money the center of our lives. There is a treasure that is more valuable than money. And sadly, many people make everything about their life. It's all about money. Who or what makes anyone or anything holy. Who determines what is holy? If you go, and I hope you don't, but if you go to the Vatican, there's someone one there dressed all in white that everybody addressed as holy. That individual also believes that he has the power to make things holy. And it's not only him. Let's not be picky on Francis. At least that's the name he chose. Everybody else before him, until back to the beginning of the 5th century, they all claim the power to decide what's holy. And what's amazing is that even when they grab the Bible, they decide what is holy in the Bible and what is not holy. There are a lot of people today, and some called Christians, that take the Bible and they decide that they have the power to decide what is holy, what is not. When I read this book, every single word here for me is holy, because this is the Word of God. But for some people, it's not. Only what is convenient becomes holy. What is not convenient is not holy. So they think they can decide. I stamp. When you buy something, there is a little stamp there that says made in. Most of the time is made in China. I used to joke this. I repeat this joke so many times. And I'm not very great in joking. But I used to tell people, in my home where I live, which even is not my home. You know, every time I pay tax, I know that it's not mine. So the home where I live, everything in the home, almost everything, they say is made in China. I said, the only thing that's not made in China here that I know is my wife. She's from Chile. And my dog, we cut the hair and everything else. We didn't find any place that says made in China. But it looks like everything else is made in China. It is the what is going on right now. And the stamp is there. So when you buy something and you say, what is it, Gucci? Or what is it? Yeah. You say, oh, that's quality. And then you are so enthusiastic about it. I said, I got this in a bargain store, a thrifty store. And this is actually, I bought $10, but it costs $500 or $800. And you're so excited about it. You got the best bargain ever. And you kept looking, and where there, where you could barely see you, made in China. Oh! And there goes that disappointment. You know, when you were born, there was a stamp on you. And I'm not talking about your DNA that you inherited from your parents. The Bible says you can look, I'm not going to put it on the screen, but you can look. In Romans chapter 2, Paul addressed this and says, when Gentiles do things according to the law by nature, many churches, especially the Roman church, has been teaching that we are born defective. That when we were born, there was this stamp there made in China on us, or whatever. No, we are not born with that kind of stamp. The Bible says that God wrote His laws on our heart from our birth. So we are born holy. We become unholy when we start making decisions. When there are so many unholy things around us in our environment, and then we start copying the unholy ones. And we become contaminated, and we become unholy as well. But there is hope. God's grace always pulls us back. Amen. Towards Him. Because the attraction is, because we are born holy, we are attracted to holiness. Until we get too much used to unholiness. So when we get so much involved with junk, we start behaving like a junk, and we believe that that's where we belong. I'd like to say to the young people here today, You were born with a stamp of holiness. Your Creator created you to be holy. When you do something that is unholy, it is your choice. It is not God's choice. God's choice for you is for you to be and remain for the entire life, your entire existence, to be holy. So when you have made a decision about your life, remember, you are a high quality product. The Maker, the perfect God, has stamped you to be holy forever. The holy ones, what decides what is holy? First of all, in order for you to decide something is holy or to know that something is holy, you have to evaluate the essence, the importance, the character. What identifies this as holy? The presence. Some people don't realize, and some people do realize, when you see the word Sabbath, you see God right there in the center. People don't realize also that the B stands for sanctuary. So in the middle of the word Sabbath, there is a symbol of the sanctuary. In the middle of the Sabbath, there is the God, Abba, the Creator, which makes the Sabbath holy. Why? Because He's present. So every time, anything that has God's presence becomes holy. Do you remember the story when Moses was in a desert, and there was this burning bush? I'm not talking about the bush from Texas. I'm talking about another burning bush. Okay. There was this burning bush there, and then Moses approached, and a voice told him, "Take off your sandals." Why? Because God Almighty is present. There are some people, not Seventh-day Adventists. I learned this when we went to our honeymoon in Hawaii, and there were some temples there. We went to visit this temple, and they asked us all to take off our shoes because they did not allow us to get inside the temple wearing our shoes. And I thought to myself, why the people who have light don't see it, and the people who are in darkness see some of the light? And please, I'm not asking you to take off your shoes. But we need to have the understanding of the concept, the awareness of God's presence. Second, purpose. Nothing is holy without purpose. Things don't become holy just because somebody did something over it. Everything that is holy is because God put a purpose to it. And the purpose is always to sustain life. Everything that God creates as holy is with intent to preserve life. Nothing that does not give life has no need to be holy. Ownership. When God claims something because He's holy, everything that is His is holy. Now, if you reword those words, and I almost did, but I said, no, I'm not going to do it. But if you reword the position, you can get the first initials, you can get Pope. I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to talk about but what it is, because the fellow up there that he still believes in all his whole system and has taught the rest of the world that they have the power to make things holy. And I'm going to give the fellow a break. That's all that I'm going to mention about, but I want you to be aware that we have been indoctrinated to label things holy that is not holy. Some people say someone is holy because it was good, now he's dead, so pray for him. No, that's not the way the Bible defines what is holy. So let's go to the Bible. We must be holy. Open your Bibles, please, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16. Please open your Bibles. I know that I have done something terrible to this church. I keep always put the screen, everything on the screen, and you are no longer open your Bibles, and I feel so guilty. I really do. So open your Bibles, please. And the church provides you a Bible if you brought you. By the way, if when you come to church, don't let your Bible stay at home crying. Say, why you leave me behind? Wherever you go, take the light with you, because if you have the light, you'll be exposed to darkness. So when you come to church, bring your beloved Bible, because the Bible loves to go to church. So bring your Bible to church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 and 16. Now that you are all found, so I'll put it on the screen. So verse 14 says, so you must live as God's obedient children. I don't know how many of you have talked to other people of the other denominations. And probably you have heard this before. Obedience. Oh. You look like you're a fanatic. You're legalistic. How can you assume that you can obey? Nobody can obey anything. And therefore, if nobody can obey, why bother even to mention, right? Why have laws if nobody wants to keep? You live in the state of California. We live in a state that sometimes laws are just a joke. It's like they create laws and more laws and more laws, and nobody's following anything. And so because somebody didn't follow this law, let me make another law to force this person to keep that law that it was supposed to. And our books are full of laws, and our streets are full of criminals. And they are living more and more out. We are living a time, the Lord told us that this time was coming, when people that break the law has more rights than those that observe the law. The people who pay tax have less benefits than those that do not. This is our society, upside down society. This is the time when we need holiness more than ever. Because we cannot change the world, but we cannot bring the world inside of us to change us. We are holy people. We do not, should not be ever afraid of the word obedience. Because if we love, love leads to obedience. You don't obey to love. You love, then you obey. Amen. You don't do obedience. Obedience is something about being. When you are, obedience is natural. When you are not, obedience is difficult. It is about being, it's not about doing. It says, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. If God has called you to holiness, stay in holy grounds. Because when you stay in holy grounds, God is right beside you. Because wherever there is holiness, God is present. Because He is the one who caused holiness to exist. Amen. You did not know any better before. So God's grace will take care of your filthy past. He'll take care of your mistakes, of your sins, of your iniquities. You did not know any better. But now that you know, you have to make a commitment. Or either you are holy or unholy. Or either you are saved, you are lost, or you are alive, and or you are dead. But you have to make up your mind. And God gave you the privilege and the ability and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you to make the right choice. But when should we make that decision? When? Now. Now you must be holy in everything you do. That's what I said, by the time you leave this room, this sanctuary, you're all holy. Because you need to embrace now. Now is your opportunity. Now you must be holy in everything you do. Let me paraphrase what it says here. Now is the time for you to go back to be like God. Because God created you in His image. And that's all His ambition. He wants you back to be look like Him. I don't know, parents. Those are parents here. Some of our kids, when they behave wonderfully and they are successful, say, "Oh, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter." But when they misbehave, you say, you walk away from them. Who is that kid? We want to be proud of our children. God wants to be proud of His children. He wants you to look like Him. He does. He wants to embrace you with His grace and make you holy. Just as God who chose you is holy. That's why He wants you to be holy. The scripture say, you must be holy. When? Now. Why? Because my Father is holy and I want to look like Him. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive forever and I want to look like my Father. Must live. Must be. Because He is. Step number one and two. The process of become holy. The first step is what? To believe. To those that believe, everything is possible. But to those that choose not to believe, everything is unreal. It doesn't come to fruition. You cannot sit down in your home and say, you know what? I believe. And then you look up and say, money is going to come down like this. I'm just going to turn on my TV and going to sit here and money will come down. If you don't get up and get a job, or at least apply for a check, you know, because that's the society we live now. Or either we apply for a job or we apply for a check. That is the society we live in right now. So, step one and two, first, believing. Why the B is right there in front of living. Oh no, you say, but Pastor, it spells different. Yeah, let me play with it. B is a symbol of existence. Do you know in the Bible when God was asked, what is your name? God said, I am what I am. What He meant is, the B is here. Everything that is on me. Because of me. I'm the source of everything that is. So when I see the word be, I remember of my Father. I remember that He is the source of every existence. Being eternal. That's what be stands for. Being eternal. Be. That's the goal of God for you and for me. So belief is important. Baptizing. Yeah, there is that be there too. And be baptizing. No, that's not it. It is written. It is important for us to see. First it says, the scripture says, you must be holy because I'm holy. That's the motivation for you. You need to be like your Father. And then, that's 1 Peter 1:16. And then, he who is believes, this is Jesus Christ speaking. By the way, as a pastor, I have met even ministers of the denomination, even someone from our church as well. They told me, that baptism is not important, relevant for our salvation. Important is how I feel. Do you know that our society now is all about how I feel? It's not what the law says. It's not what it is. It's not right or wrong. It's how I feel. Oh, poor me. What I feel. So we have a lot of gods walking out there. So they say, what I do is what is important, what I think. The Bible says, he or she who believes and is baptized. So baptism comes after believing. You believe and then the works of belief, which is being baptized, will be saved. Who will be saved? All that believe? That's not what Jesus is saying. Because the Bible says even the devil believes. And believe me, he does believe. Even the devil believes. And look at what it got him to. It says, and is baptized. But he who does not believe will be condemned. This is Mark 16:16. And it's very easy for me to remember this because I was baptized at 16. And some of you that are 16 today, and it is important for us to know that when you believe, that should lead you to baptism. Becoming. You notice becoming is another compound word. The be comes before anything else comes. What does becoming mean? Literally, transformed by the Holy Spirit when we are becoming. Let's see this text here. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. What is the veil he's talking about here? When we, before we believed, we didn't have the light. So everything, God was not real for us. But once that we came, once the Holy Spirit came and showed to us, revealed to us Jesus Christ, the character of God, then the veil was taken. Amen. And then we realized all, this is what God is all about. Excuse me. So, the glory of God, the Lord is Jesus Christ, and He was revealed once that the veil is taken out. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. Notice that I underline the more and more. Do you know why I underline this? It's because more and more shows a process. Amen. A progress. More and more. It didn't say it. It says more and more. It's a journey. Holiness is a journey. Sanctification is a journey. It's a process that we must be involved. We cannot be benefited if we just contemplate. But if we participate, then it becomes part of what we are. It says, more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. If you look at Genesis 1:26, when we were, let us make them according to our own image. This text brings back that in our mind. 2 Corinthians 3:18. New Living Translation is a translation that says like this. And then it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17. New Living Translation as well. I like to emphasize this. The old life is gone. Brothers and sisters, how many people sometimes they come to church, they are so enthusiastic about their new faith, they are baptized, and they go back to their old self. As soon as they can, they are still wet from the baptismal water, and they are already back there where they were supposed not to be. It is sad, brothers and sisters, but in the last days, there will be a lot of people from inside the church that will turn against our own brothers and sisters because they have never been converted. They have been baptized. Their name has been entered into the books. They attend our services, but they never experience what is holiness all about. They never intend to be like the Father. And that is sad, but that is a reality because Jesus Christ Himself said to us, in the last days, one will be taken and one will be left. And sometimes brothers will, just like what happened to Him, somebody who was eating with Him at the table was the one who betrayed Him. And it's going to happen to us too. Don't be so over-attached to anything in this life because you do not belong here. Let me repeat. You do not belong here. Can you say to yourself, I don't belong here? Oh, please, 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 please. If you think you do, so I will respect you. But I'm giving you a chance to say, I don't belong here. Say with gusto, I don't belong here. I'm just passing through. This world has no power over me because the Holy One wants me, and I want to be holy as He is holy. We have a part to play in becoming God's holy people, to live a holy life, to be His obedient children. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of the word obedience. Obedience is a gift that you give to the giver.
Amen.
The one who gave you everything you have and everything you can dream of, all that He asks you, give me a gift of your obedience. And when you give me something, everything that's mine will be yours. It's a great investment.
Amen.
I don't know if you know much about your finances, but I don't think there is any other great investment like this one. You gave a little and you get all. Oh, that is the one. So be caving. If you put this behave, you separate the two words, be, have. What you have, you are to be. If you have a good behavior, you are. If you have a bad behavior, you cease to be. That's what behaving is all about. Behave like obedient children. Don't let your lives be controlled by your desire as they used to be. Behave. 1 Peter 1:14. Now, so you must live as God's obedient children. We repeat this from 1 Peter. And then we repeat this also. It says, the old life is gone. A new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a second part. Now, brothers and sisters, belonging. For many people, to be a Christian is to belong to a church. That is not Christianity. That is a churchanity. There are a lot of There are a lot of people that belong to church and do not know God. There are people that go to church almost faithfully, almost every day. And they do not know God and do not plan to be like God. There are churches that call themselves Christians, but when they say, if you love me, keep my commandments, oh no, that's too much. That is Seventh-day Adventism. When somebody asks you next time why you keep the Sabbath, why you observe the Sabbath, please do not tell them because you're a Seventh-day Adventist. The Seventh-day Adventist does not own the Sabbath.
Amen.
The Seventh-day Adventist does not own the Bible. Seventh-day Adventism does not own the right to tell one or the other who is going to be in heaven and who is not. We are not selling policy or property or land in heaven. That's not our business. Our business is to have compassion, to be holy as God is holy, and seek to people that wants to be willing to apply their compassion, people that are willing to accept their compassion. Love others. And when they come to be part of the body of Christ, they will come because they want Christ, not because they want to be your buddy. There's nothing wrong about being your friend. But make sure that when you preach the gospel, they are attractive to God. Because the purpose of every doctrine that we know is only one. Do you know that? All 28 beliefs or whatever beliefs, the whole purpose of all our beliefs is only one. To show us who the Father is. Everything that we do, everything we experience, the topic that we have covered today is all about who He is. And when you know who your Father is, you start behaving like Him. Sometimes we try to behave like somebody we do not know, to serve somebody who we have no clue who he is, and somebody we are confused about it. It doesn't work, brothers and sisters. Your faith becomes a fake if you want it to be real about a wonderful experience. Try to know Abba. Try to know Him so well. And then you'll be holy. Do you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember when we said in the beginning, one of what makes something holy is God's presence? Now, do you have any doubt when you walk out of here that you are holy? Or if you say, I'm not holy, maybe I'll say, I don't know what kind of spirit do you have in. Because if you have the Holy Spirit in you, therefore you are holy. Don't be shy about the word holiness. But make sure that you don't get credit for the holiness. Allocate the credit to God's grace, because God's grace is what makes you holy. It is His claim on you that makes you holy. Amen. Together, you are the body of Christ. Okay, let's do my time is up. Let's make sure that everybody's awake. I don't know if you're left hand or right hand. This is just a little exercise. Okay? If you're right hand, just raise your right hand. Okay. Do you promise? No, no. Raise your right hand. Can you do this? Wow, it sounds beautiful. Let's do it again. That means it takes two fingers to put the pressure, and this one here hits here and makes the sound. Right? Now, can you do this? Yes. Now, why am I asking you to do this exercise? What part of your body is more important than the other? If they take your heart and say, my heart is more important. If you take your heart and set aside, what would happen to your heart? If you take your arm out and put it somewhere, it dies. We are all connected. We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
All of us, we are all needed. We need to understand the value of each other. And that's part of the process of holiness. You do not acquire value to you until you apply value to others. It is giving that makes us receive. It is not taking. Our society emphasizes taking, taking, taking. Because our society is sick. Because a society that is healthy is a society who emphasizes giving. Giving, providing. And the society when everybody cares, nobody needs caring. That's the problem with us today. Remember, together we are one, the body of Christ. Now, does anybody know? Have you noticed the application here? The Holy Spirit in us, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is present. The body of Christ must be holy because the hand is Christ. The Holy Spirit is present in us because we are the body of Christ. What else is missing here? We are holy. We are holy because a price was paid for us to be acquired by the Holy One. Therefore, we belong to Him. We don't belong to the Seventh-day Adventist organization. And by the way, I'm not saying this in the demeaning of the church. Thank God, because this is the remnant church of God.
Amen.
But the church without the Holy One, the church becomes unholy. It doesn't matter what you believe. Remember, the people that crucified Christ, they had the truth. And they put the truth on the cross. They tried to kill the truth instead of embracing. So please make sure that you understand that concept. Now, I know the time. Yeah, but the Holy Sabbath, we're going to eat. There's something special we're waiting for us to eat there. Let me say this to you. This concept here. If you know that your hand became ill, and you go to a doctor, the doctor says, unless you amputate your finger, you're going to lose your entire arm. Would you be willing to give cut a little one? No, let's not discriminate. Cut another one, cut it off, just to save the rest of the arm. Would you be willing to do it? If it says, this is it, or the finger, this little one, or the hand, but you can save the rest of the body, would you be willing to do? How come our church have such a hard time discerning between right and wrong when you have to decide who stays in the church, who doesn't? How come we're so afraid to use the word discipline? Discipline is an act of love when the purpose is to redeem. I just thought about throwing that over there. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own? If you are the owner of your house, then your house is not holy. But if the Holy One is the one who is claiming to be the owner of your property, then you are holy, because everything that is His is holy as He is. Don't forget that, my brother and sister. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God Himself, this is another version, you realize, don't you? He's asking you. By now you know, right? Don't you know that you are the temple of God, that God Himself is present in you? No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. We thought we were done with that part, but look at this. No one is going to get away with it if you're vandalizing God, no graffitiing God's temple. Don't put junk on God's temple, because the Holy One cannot be reside where junk is. So when ladies, brothers, when you dress, remember you're dressing God's temple. Remember when you decide to put gold upon you, to call attention upon you, remember it's not you who counts, but the God is in you that should count. Put your treasure on Him, not on yourself. Don't worship yourself, worship Him. Because He is the Holy One, and He is the only one who can make you holy as well. So when you eat, that's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, if you eat or you sing, or you watch your television or you're reading, whatever you do, do everything to honor the Holy One, so you may be holy as well. God's temple is sacred. The word sacred means it's holy. It belongs to God. And you, remember, are that temple. Young people, when a boy look at you, or a girl look at you, you are not a piece of junk. Amen. Don't let people look at you like you're just a toy to be played with. You are holy. And if you say, oh, poor me, they're not going to like me, so I had to compromise. If they didn't like you before, they will like even less the moment that you become like them. The only reason they attract you because you are better. But the moment that you lower your stand and become like them, they don't like you either because you stink just like them. Hold your head up. Be holy because God made you to be holy always, until one day when He sees you and He will say, come, Holy One, to the Holy One. Tell all the people of Israel, and I am doing this. God asked me to do this, and I'm telling you, Israel, today. God said to you, and God said to me, I am the Lord your God. Yes, He is my God. Is He yours? Is He yours?
Amen.
If He is your God, you are holy, and you must remain holy. I'm going to tell you a little illustration, very brief. An inspector came to inspect a property, a farmer, a farm's property. And when they come to inspect, and you see this in the Bible as well. When they come to inspect, it's because they want to give another value for your property so that they can increase the tax. That's the game they play. You find these stories in the Bible. It's the same process for 6,000 years. It's the same evil that they always keep justifying how to control people by doing those things. And I'm not against tax. I think we live in a society that the society needs to provide means for us to live well. So we need to pay. I don't think that we should have a free ride in anything. So let me make sure that it's clear. So this inspector came and knocked at the door and told the farmer, I'm here to inspect your property. And the farmer says, okay, it's okay, but please don't go in that section of my property. Oh, that made the inspector say, I know where the treasure is. So he says, why not? I said, because Eddie lives there. And who is Eddie? Do you know, sir, who I am? I am the inspector so-and-so, and I have a badge here to tell you that I have the right to go anywhere in your property. And any time that I choose to. Do you see this badge? Can you read this badge? This is power. I can go anywhere. The farmer said, but don't go where Eddie is. And the inspector went to the part where the farmer said, don't go there. And suddenly, the farmer says, hey kids, come. He asked his children to come and open the porch and ask his wife. And they said, watch. And here comes the inspector, run for his life. Running. And Eddie, the bull, was running out of the inspector. And laughing, the farmer says, show him your badge. People will talk to you, and you may need to show your badge. Not a badge that will give you arrogance to make you better than anybody else, but a badge that will represent the power that calls you holy. I do hope that you will make a good use of your badge, not a misuse. To claim arrogance upon all the people that are unfortunate, they may not have the light that you have. A light that was given to you is a privilege. Don't be arrogant with it.
Amen.
But be compassionate. Be holy because your God is holy.
Amen.
Now, let me see the hands of the holy ones. Oh, this, believe me, I can see God taking a picture. This looks good. All right, let's think together. Take time to be holy. How much time should we take to be holy? All the time. Let's stand and sing together. Take time.